she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hello.
Lane Lewis.
Good morning.
And me, Sybil. Hello. We're here every Saturday morning taking your phone calls, 877-881-1053, and your AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733. And AutoFlex is open. You can call them today. What are those numbers, David?
That's right. It's a great time to call, in fact, because your trade will never be worth more than it is right now, I promise you. And if you wait until Thursday of next week, it's going to be worth a bunch less. End of the year, trades get a year older. So, give us a call this morning, either 817 or 972-234-1234 if you're in the market for a car, and find out if you're really getting the best deal.
Like Tammy reminded us last week, by Thursday, even though it's just a matter of days, your car is a year older, technically.
It's crazy, yeah. Then it's 2015. Now Your 2010 looks old.
So
and if you're
sure.
driving an 08, oh my God.
You're just way out of the ballpark. So make sure you call today. Coming up later in the show, we are going to get into a little CEO talk about the CEO of Uber, because he's in some hot water. But first, I really like this. 7 deadly sins of car insurance.
You know, there are certain things you can do that will absolutely escalate your cost of insuring your car, can make it so expensive you almost can't insure it. And here are what are called the 7 deadly sins of car insurance. The number one thing, DUIs.
Mm-hmm.
Get a DUI, and your insurance company is going to hold that against you from between 3 and 7 years, according to what state you're in and what insurance company you've got.
I see those commercials. You have to get an SR-22 or whatever it's called.
Yeah, well, you could go into an assigned risk pool, which is terribly, terribly expensive. It can cost, the insurance-wise, can go up an average of like 82%.
Yowza.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So instead of necessarily going to the concrete and bars jail, you're going to the financial jail.
Same kind of thing. The concrete and bars jail may be over a lot faster. And it'll cost you thousands of dollars with lawyer fees and that kind of thing. But it just as an example, a 40-year-old guy that drives a Honda Accord in California, he could pay as little as $2,605 for insurance. If he gets a DUI, $5,366.
Now,
that's huge.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm surprised that a Honda Accord would cost $2,600.
It's California.
To insure, it's California.
All right, let's talk about Texas. It'd probably be about $1,200. Let's talk Texas prices.
Yeah. Okay, the number two thing that you don't want to do is drive recklessly. And reckless driving is the willful or wanton disregard for the safety of other people or property. Now, here's the thing. When you're texting and driving, That can be construed as willful and wanton disregard for the safety of others.
It is.
And so then you're in the number two bracket where you don't want to be. The number two worst things to do for your insurance, reckless driving. Number three, have a bad driving record. Rack up some auto accidents, rack up some tickets. Any combination of three, 2 tickets and 1 accident, 2 accidents and 1 ticket, 3 tickets,
maybe
you hit the jackpot. you hit the jackpot.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, you can, for as little as 2 speeding tickets over the limit, 10 miles an hour, your insurance can go up as much as 37%.
What?
Yeah.
Dang. So that $1,200 insurance bill becomes $1,600, basically.
Exactly.
I just did math on the radio.
That was good.
You did really good.
I thought about it well in advance.
See, some of the stuff I did for the show, I did in the easy chair with the iPhone, with the calculator. So anyway, the next thing on the list being a serial sinner. Get a DUI, the next year get a ticket, then the next year maybe don't pay your insurance on time. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And what happens is it just sort of stacks up. And everything you get turns into more expense every time you renew. And that brings us to failure to pay your insurance bill on time. The one bill you want to pay, trust me, is your insurance bill. Because if you let it lapse, you go into the high-risk pool. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's state law in Texas. So if you let your insurance lapse, it's going to cost you high-risk insurance for at least 6 months once you reinsure.
Because you have to start fresh. That's why you always have to prove that you've had insurance the previous 6 months or a year. When you start with a new insurance company, they want to make sure you haven't been out there driving with no insurance.
Makes sense.
All right. The next thing on the list, having a crummy credit score. If you've got a really bad credit score, it's going to hurt your insurance, and here's why. People with lower credit scores file more claims than people with higher credit scores. Statistically, it's just a fact. So insurance companies charge more in Texas if you've got poor credit. Now, there are some states that prohibit it, but Texas is not one of them.
Well, it seems kind of, because bad things happen to good people, it doesn't mean that they're going to be bad drivers.
I know, but statistically it says they are. All right. So getting down to the end of the list.
We're all basically victims of statistics.
We are, in fact. Especially when it comes to insurance. It's all actuarial.
And it truly is. When we come to this next one, this amazes me.
Driving the wrong kind of car. If you want to go out and get a Scion, which is a cute little car, and it's not terribly fast or anything like that. It's not expensive. It's going to cost you $1,622 a year to insure it. Why? Because it's the favorite car of the teenager.
Ah.
And teenagers have more wrecks than anyone else, and we'll talk about the statistics on that in just a minute. But if you want to go out and get a minivan, it's going to be terribly, terribly inexpensive to insure. And later in the show, we're going to talk about the least expensive cars to insure so our listeners can sort of couch what they're thinking about when they're thinking about what their expenses are going to be on a new car.
Not that long ago, I had a client ask me, they thought that the red car would be more expensive to insure.
I've always heard that.
Nah. And it doesn't have anything to do with the color. I feel like it should definitely be based on the individual's driving record and the individual's ability, but they really do classify an entire car based on the claims they've paid out on that particular model.
Wow. I mean, I guess that's what you have to do, though. You base it on experience. And so because you don't necessarily have experience for that one person applying for the insurance, you have to base it on everybody else who is in the similar carpool.
So if the majority of the people that drive the particular car that you want drive like J-holes.
Like what?
Whatever. and the insurance premiums are higher for that particular car, then you get punished and pay it as well.
Okay, finally.
You get grouped in with them.
Yeah.
The coup de grace, as they say. The number one thing that will bounce your insurance rates, probably as bad as anything, maybe worse, add a teenage driver onto your insurance. Teenage drivers are 12 times more likely to crash a car in their first month of driving than they are a year later. In their first month. Again, statistically, there it has.
Well,
there it is.
If anybody remembers being a teenage driver, I was pretty nervous at first, and they usually load up all their friends in there, so there's all kinds of distractions.
Yep.
And peer pressure and all kinds of crazy stuff going on.
Well, and boys cost more than girls.
Well.
Yeah. Insure a teenage boy, your insurance could go up by 176%. Insure a teenage girl, and it's only 129%.
Well, that's because girls are more mature than boys.
Now, I think it's a testosterone thing. I don't think there's crazy. But anyway, if you insure a teenager, you'll find your insurance rates going way up. It's maybe cheaper to get a DUI than it is to...
So maybe, you know, the future needs to be some sort of, whenever you get invited to a baby shower, there should be some sort of an insurance
fund. Yeah.
That you
could,
and when
like
they
a
have
piggy
a boy,
bank.
It'd be like, well, I'm going to a boy's baby shower, so they're going to have an insurance fund for when he first starts driving.
It's not a bad idea. It's like saving for college.
Yeah.
I think the other thing to remember is every time your insurance comes up, shop it. Doesn't take anything but a little bit of time. You can shop your insurance all over the place. Here's the other thing. The cheapest insurance in the world is probably going to be the one that doesn't deal with claims well. So you don't, it's like buying an appliance.
You don't want the
bottom of the line. You don't want the top of the line. You want somebody in the middle that's going to take care of you. It's not going to charge you like, you know, Rolls Royce fees, but they will take care of claims.
Right. And if you want to follow along with that list, it's at autoflex.com. Click on the Facebook link and like our page. You can follow along with all the stories we talk about, including this one, talking insurance.
All of this makes me think that we all need to think twice before we do anything like pick up the phone to text or drive a little too fast or have that drink and get in the car. Think about your monthly bills.
And how they can grow rather suddenly.
Yes.
True.
Okay, so
you
if you're out there looking for a car, you might think that a Jeep Wrangler would be terribly expensive to repair because when you see the ads, the Jeep Wranglers are always climbing up mountains, they're fording streams. But the reality is, most of them are carting kids around to the shopping center and to school and back.
Yeah.
That's why it makes the Jeep Wrangler the least expensive car to insure this year. Is that crazy?
Yeah, I would have never guessed that.
Couple of things. They come apart really easy. The doors bolt on. They don't weld on. The hood, everything's got bolts so you can slide it off. So if you smash your door, you just slap a new one on there. So they're inexpensive to repair, and they're mommy mobiles.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are being driven around suburbia. They're not driving up the side of the Rocky Mountains. The other thing is, mommy mobiles are the cheapest to insure, and here's why. Mommies have less wrecks.
Yeah.
They're very careful with their kiddos.
Sure.
So the second least expensive vehicle, a much more expensive vehicle than the Wrangler, Honda Odyssey LX.
Mommy Mobile.
Exactly. And then the Jeep Patriot Sport, and then the Honda CR-V LX. And that's going to be that's the new Mommy Mobile, is the small SUV. That's mm-hmm. what more people are going to. In fact, they're outselling sedans right now. Moving down the list, the Jeep Compass, Chrysler Town & Country Touring, Mommy Mobile. The Dodge Journey SE, a car that we probably won't see after this year. And that's sort of a shame, because the Journey gave you three rows of seats at a very inexpensive price. And if you got a bunch of kids, that helps. Honda Odyssey EX, number 9. And finally, the Grand Caravan SE, number 10. If you look at these least expensive cars, what you do notice is they're people carriers. And a lot of them are being driven around suburbia. They're not being raced around. Now, the other interesting thing is you can insure a very fast car for the same thing you can insure a very slow and inexpensive car for, if it is a car being driven by teenagers. So look around, look at what teenagers in your neighborhood are driving, and you don't want one of those.
Call your insurance company for sure and find out what they tell you. You know, get some advice from them, the least expensive vehicles to insure.
Oh, yeah.
Before you even shop for a vehicle, if that's going to be part of the budget consideration, which a lot of people don't think about the insurance.
Right.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, if it is part of the budget consideration, maybe you're out there shopping for a car, you're thinking you've got a ceiling of X amount for your payment, but you haven't considered insurance. Maybe the new car you're getting is going to have airbags. It's going to have electronic skid control. It's going to have safety, you know, side curtain airbags. It's going to have anti-theft on it. It may have some things that'll actually discount your insurance and save you some money every month, and that's a little more money you can afford for the car.
Nice. So, yeah, call your insurance before you do your car shopping and find out what's going to work best for you. Got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing, with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. Our phone number to the studio, you want to call in, 877-881-1053, or send us an AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733, and you can call AutoFlex. They are open today. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234. If you're worried about what your trade-in is worth, go to AutoFlex.com, click on What's My Trade Worth. You'll get to go through and fill out a questionnaire, and you'll get a free black book appraisal on your trade-in right there at AutoFlex.com, where, as Sybil said earlier, you can follow along with all the stories we're doing on the air and a bunch of other car stuff on our Facebook page.
We were just talking about insurance, and one of our AutoFlex Leasing fan texter says, my ex-wife got in a wreck. She was at fault, but the insurer won't pay because she didn't have my son's updated information. He wasn't even involved, but they eventually paid. They were just trying to get out of it because he wasn't on the policy. How does that happen?
It, you know, insurance is funny. It didn't used to work this way, but now insurance can be very formidable to deal with when you have an accident. And you're best to have all your bases covered.
Yeah. Oh, because he was on the policy. My bad.
Yeah,
but
he wasn't involved in the wreck. Right.
Huh. Very tricky. But yeah, I've seen the movie The Incredibles, and I know that the insurance companies try to get out of everything they can.
The Incredibles. All right.
So Ford Credit Company has been hit with a lawsuit.
Yeah, Ford Motor Credit has been hit with a class action suit over its leasing policies. And here's the thing, folks.
I'm torn on this, just so you know.
Okay. Tammy's torn.
Keep going, and then I'll share.
Okay, very good. So here's what happens. If you lease a car from Ford, and you want to trade it in to another dealer, not your Ford dealer, you're going to have to pay that car off, write a check for the whole thing at the end, plus taxes and then transferring title and stuff. And this class action suit says that that is unfair, because Ford is trying to capture the equity that's in the car and not let the lessee of the car, who actually paid for that equity, capture it themselves. What they the residuals for years were set lower than the car's actual value at the end of the lease. So that means at the end, if you're the driver of the car, you could sell your car and keep the money, keep the difference, right? You make a little profit.
Trade it in and...
Or trade it in, use the equity. Well, Ford is not allowing people to do that. They're saying, you've got to pay us off if you want to trade the car in. The key is somewhere else.
FYI, Ford's always done that, pretty much.
They've always done that, and they've also done other things. I looked at a Lexus lease a couple of weeks ago, and the residual value on the car was $29,000, but the purchase option for the customer was $41,000 on a car that's worth $11,000, $12,000 less than that. And that's because they don't want the lessee to buy the car. They want to bring the car back in and certify it and then resell the car as a certified pre-owned car.
Who owns the car?
The bank owns the car.
So Lexus or Ford, whoever financed they own the car.
Well, but they may have a problem on the lawsuit because I don't know that they can make someone pay sales tax, title, and license if they wish to trade the car in. Because if you wish to trade a car in, another dealer can pay it off, and they don't have to pay taxes.
They have to do it to own the car in order to trade the car. It's not their car. They leased it from Ford.
I understand.
Ford owns the car.
So we'll see what happens, because Ford's not the only bank doing this. There's a number of banks that do this at the end of the lease, and it does limit the lessees, my customers' ability to go where they want to go and get a car.
I'm torn. On the consumer side, it irritates me. I've watched this happen for years.
Mm-hmm.
But on the side of the banks that are taking the risk, and there's the ones that are putting it out there, they own the car. It's their right to do it.
Right.
If you want to trade your car elsewhere, or if you want to keep your car, or if you want to sell it to someone else, first you must purchase the car from me. I own the car. First you must buy it from me, which means you must pay sales tax and pay registration. Then you can do whatever you want with it. But until then, it's mine.
But if it's your personal car, say it's your personal car and you want to trade it in, what if you made the dealer pay sales tax before you traded it in? And you're going to say, well, they don't have to. But what if you made them because it's your car? Because that's what Ford's doing. They're making people pay sales tax before they trade the car in. And they do it to limit their ability as to where they want to shop.
They are doing that.
They want them to come back to Ford and get another Ford. And if they want to do something else, it does limit their ability to capture the equity that they built up in the car. So it's an interesting lawsuit. We'll see what happens. I think it's going to affect more than just Ford, especially if these guys win.
It'll affect a lot of lenders out there. But it's their car.
Mm-hmm. I always thought TTNL was already included when you do the lease.
Every time a title changes hands, the state gets taxed again, unless it goes to a dealer. And if you trade your car into a dealer, he's not obligated to pay sales tax. What this does is it makes it so that sales tax has to be paid before you can trade your car into another dealer.
This is why the Flex Buy comes in so handy.
Yeah, it does, because you own the car the whole time.
Yep, and you only have to pay the TTNL one time.
One time.
And I see, I'm torn. I see all sides of it. It's a difficult, the judge on this case, or jury, however this is going to work out, this will be very interesting, because the bottom line is if Ford or whatever bank it is owns the car, it's their car. If we own the car, it's our car to trade in.
Well, I think that the difference here is their point is not about who owns the car. The point is making someone pay sales tax. Because they can trade. There's a number of other leases you can have, and you could go trade.
Buy the car.
I want to let you finish. Okay, so then they can trade that car into a number of other lenders would allow them to trade the car without paying sales tax on it. Mm-hmm. They could just trade it in, but Ford makes them pay the sales tax. And again, Tammy knows there are a number of lenders that have begun doing this in order to capture the equity themselves or to limit the ability of the customer to shop somewhere else. Another good reason to do business with independents is as an independent, we don't do stuff like this.
Right.
And we don't care what kind of car you want. We're going to get you whatever kind of car you want at the end, because you can get a Ford this time and a Honda next time and a Mercedes and a Mazda, and we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, though. It'll be interesting to see how this works out, because, again, it's going to be far-reaching. If they win, it's going to be very far-reaching.
It'll affect a bunch of different banks.
Yep.
Wow. Seems like every week we talk about the Takata airbag recall, but today there's a major change.
Yeah, yeah. Their Swiss national president, Stefan Stocker, has stepped down as the head of Takata, and the grandson of the original Takata has taken the job back over.
Interesting. Because of all of the recalls that have been going on.
Well, and they put the Swiss guy in 2013, and you know darn well they knew they had problems coming down the road. So he took over from the guy that's now taking back over again, Mr. Takata, Shigenshi Takata. He took over from him in 13. He has faced basically all the slings and arrows since he's been the president, and now he's no longer the president. He's stepping down, and Takata's taking back over. So it's sort of like they knew what was coming, and they figured they'd get Mr. Takata out of there, and when all the bad stuff happens, then he'll come back in as sort of the hero.
Yeah.
And he did come back in, and he said, as far as he can tell, they did everything wrong, and the company has zero corporate governance, and it's one of the worst examples of poor management he's ever seen.
Ooh,
by golly.
Yikes.
Yeah, so, you know, they sort of let somebody other than family take the hit on that deal.
They do that in radio all the time.
Don't they?
Yeah, they'll bring in a show to replace a show that's going to be leaving or that got fired, and then those people have to take the brunt of everybody going, where's the other show? I loved them. And
right.
Then when they bring the new people in, everybody's like, oh, what a relief. You're here. I like it that Takata is T-A-K-A-D-A, but then they spell their airbags with a T. That's like Toyota.
Exactly, the
Mr.
same thing.
Mr. Toyota with a D, but
Tommy
then they
Toyota's
spell the brand.
With a D.
Yeah,
right.
With a T.
There must be something to it. We don't know what it is.
Maybe so.
Well, I think they probably knew they had a problem a long time before they realized it, and it's come out now. And
no, we're just talking about the D and the T.
Oh, sorry.
But whatever.
So, Dodge Charger's new Hellcat. We've been talking about this and all of the horsepower.
Wow.
And they're making a little bit of a change.
Well, yeah, they're making a pretty big change, and here's why. They're changing their lineup, and Dodge had sort of become known as the little brother, the inexpensive little brother of Chrysler. So Chrysler had the nice cars, and Dodge had the step down from there. Except they started the Ram brand, and they built a really strong brand around Ram, and that was a Dodge, now it's Ram. And now with the Hellcat, they're getting rid of their family four-door sedan image. They've produced a 700-horsepower car that goes 204 miles an hour that you can buy for $64,000, which makes it $150,000 cheaper than every other 700-horsepower car out there. And it gets good gas mileage. It gets 19 miles on the highway.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty crazy. It comes with two keys, by the way, a red key and a black key. The red key, you get all 204 miles an hour. The black key knocks it down to a very safe 500 horsepower. Is that crazy?
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
In case
you
were going to let your kid take the car
to
the store.
500 horsepower?
That's still too much.
What
is that for the valet?
Idea.
That's the valet key.
That's the valet key.
That's the valet key.
Ain't valet driving my Hellcat. That's for darn sure.
He only gets 500 horsepower. You get the whole 700.
I love that. What a fantastic idea.
Anyway, they're changing their entire image, Dodge is. They are going to become a performance car company like they were in the 60s, in the mid-60s, when they built the Roadrunners and those cars. And it'll be interesting to see how the marketing goes, because they're doing away with a couple of their really big sellers, the Town and Country Caravans going away, or the Dodge Caravans going away. There's a couple of their lines that are going away, and they've got to make up for those sales with something, and they're hoping they can do that with the muscle cars.
We saw that car at the car show. It is sexy.
The Hellcat?
It had a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Lots of.
I just love the name.
I know, right?
I think I'll name my firstborn Hellcat. Hellcat
that'll,
Summers.
You may
that'll
have
be
to.
Great.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. Our phone number, 877-881-1053. Feel free to give us a shout or send us a fan text at 43733. And as always, you can and should call AutoFlex for your next new car. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. Out of the area, 888-234-1234. As always, AutoFlex.com, where you can see all our great pre-owned cars. And on those cars, you can buy them, you can lease them, or maybe do a combination of both. We call it the Flex Buy, the best of both worlds of purchasing and leasing. Ask your leasing specialist, and they'll explain it to you.
Yes, indeed. And one of the biggest questions we always get about leasing is, well, I drive a lot of miles. Does leasing work for me?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the answer. Actually, when you call us, and this happened yesterday. I spoke to a prospect yesterday who called in. He knows my dad, so got on the phone with him, and we had a nice long conversation about really everything that he needed to know in order to make his next decision about a car. So this particular gentleman drives high miles, 2,000 to 3,000 miles a month on average. That's a lot. That's 24,000 to 36,000 miles a year. It's kind of high, right? Well, he purchased his last vehicle, and he bought it used and financed it for a longer term, 5 years, and then drove those miles. So right now he is what we say in the car business is upside down.
Right.
Basically owes more on the car than it's currently worth. Owes quite a bit more on the car than it's currently worth because it has depreciated more rapidly than he could pay for it. All right. This is a standard thing. Even if you drive pretty average miles, say 15,000 to 20,000 miles per year, if you put your car note, stretch it out to 5 and 6 years, you will be upside down until you're probably in about the fourth to fifth year of the loan, simply because the car depreciates faster than you're paying for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we've talked about how it depreciates 30% right when you drive it off the lot. It's true.
So there's a big dip right there. Then if you're driving 2,000 and 3,000 miles a year, it is dropping at a much faster rate in value than me that drives, you know, 5,000 miles a year.
Right.
All right. So when you lease the vehicle and we build in the proper miles for you, if you're going to drive 24,000 miles a year, then a 3-year lease, boom, you've got 75,000 miles on the car.
You
can drive
it
for that long. You could even do a 4-year lease to 100,000 miles. The thing is, your payment will be a little bit higher because you're paying for the actual depreciation on the car, but you will not be upside down. You will not owe more on the car at the end. You'll be able to just turn it in and walk away. If you want to buy your car and own it, you're that person who wants to own your car, that's fine. If you're driving those kind of miles, think about it this way. I need to put it on a 3 to 4 year loan so that I won't be upside down. If I'm going to stretch it out longer than that to 5 or 6 years, I need to commit to drive this car regardless of what happens in my life. You know, there's another kid born. Well, we're just going to jam everybody in there together, or we're going to take two cars wherever we go.
Well, I think the point is, if you're driving 24,000 miles a year and you keep a car 5 years, that car's got a lot of miles on it. Very, very limited resale value. Very, very limited resale market, pardon me. And the resale value, of course, is hit really hard because it's got over 100 grand on it. So you've got, you know, a couple of things you're dealing with. You're dealing with a much smaller group of people that will want to buy the car because it's got a lot of miles on it, and you're dealing with a lot less money for the car. And, you know, the big thing is the 72-month finance. Now it's out to 84, sometimes even 96 months.
Yowzer.
If you do that with a car, you begin to pay for the car after the first half of the term.
Right.
So you're going to pay interest for 3 years. And then you're going to start paying down on a car. And by the time you start paying interest, in this case, you'd have a car with 75,000 miles on it.
Yeah, before
when you
even
first started paying it down.
Right. So I saw an ad recently, and there's tons of rebates going on right now, folks. It's end of year. They're having closeout deals. Now, of course, when we're looking for cars for customers, if it's a hot car, you've got limited options as far as availability. They just don't have that many left. They are selling them out, right?
Right.
But let's say you've got a situation where you just want a car with a big discount, big rebate that will help absorb whatever negative equity. You know, you owe more on this car over here than it's worth, or you just want the big discount. Well, I saw a Dodge Chrysler ad for a vehicle, and it offered a 72-month 0% financing. Sounds like a deal, doesn't
it? Yeah.
No. In lieu of the rebates,
big money back.
There's like $4,750 in rebate money. There's still some secret dealer cash possibly on certain models, so it can get deeper. The discounts can get much deeper than that. But you're giving up almost $5,000 in discounts. $5,000 in order to get the 0% financing for 72 months.
And well, in interest rates like they are now, you wouldn't pay $5,000 in interest.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tricky.
Not a deal.
You need to call out Flex.
That's true.
We will break it down for you.
We've got a great fan text, a couple of them. One, Dave Ramsey says leasing a car is the most expensive way to drive a car. Can you elaborate? And if you read Money Magazine, if you read Dave Ramsey, there's a lot of financial gurus out there. Susie, whatever her name is.
Orman.
Yeah, they're going to tell you what they believe is best. And here's the reality. You can drive a car terribly inexpensively if you buy a pre-owned car and drive it forever.
Ever.
And that's what they espouse, buying a pre-owned car and keeping it between 8 and 10 years. And that's darned inexpensive. But what you don't get is the newest safety equipment, and you don't get a new car. How many people drive a car for 10 years?
Mm-mm, not me.
Well there not are, many people. There's some, but
there
not many.
There are plenty. We see a lot of the older cars out there, but nobody wants to. They everybody wants a newer car. They like the idea of not being stranded. There's a fear of being left on the side of the road. You
yes.
know? Those late night trips or those road trips, you know, in my car. That can happen with a brand new car, too, by the way. They can just break.
Right.
But yes, it absolutely is. Buy a used car and drive it till it falls apart. That is the cheapest way to go. Absolutely. I tell people all the time, that's the financially wise thing to do. It's not how Dallas rolls.
No. Okay, so most of our customers drive a car between 3 and 5 years. And if you're going to drive a car between 3 and 5 years and you trade for a new car every 3 to 5 years, leasing is a lot cheaper than buying the car because you make no big investment up front and you have a lower monthly payment than if you bought it. Now, the payments go on forever. If you're always going to have a car payment, doesn't it make sense to pay as little as possible every month? Certainly it does.
And expose yourself to the market changes, the fluctuations, which the lease protects you from that because you can give it back. Oh, if gas prices go back up to $5 a gallon and you're driving a Tahoe, I promise you don't want to own it.
Yeah. So there's certainly what Ramsey says is correct. I mean, you can buy a car and keep it forever. It's just that most people don't. Right. If you look at most people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they probably should be leasing a car because their trade cycle is between 3 and 5 years, and they finance their cars for longer than they drive them. So they're always going to have a car payment anyway. Their payment's just higher than the lease payment.
We shouldn't eat fast food. We shouldn't eat too much turkey and dressing. We shouldn't do that. Please. You just have to think about what are you really going to do and then deal with it that way. So if you are going to drive a newer car, you do want to have a newer car. Even if you're going to trade every 5 years, lease it.
Mm-hmm.
We can do a 5-year lease and then you've still paid less money.
Right. And not just the safety features. I mean, of course you want new safety features, but the warranty. If you're driving an old car like that, you're paying for repairs all the time.
Well, there is a point where you'd start. Yeah.
Okay. And here's the thing, folks. I hope everyone in Dallas is listening to me. If you've got a big fat wallet and you want to save some money by buying a pre-owned car, if you buy a German pre-owned car that is 5 or 6 years old, it's going to cost you a fortune to fix the window motor that's going to go out and two fortunes to fix the air conditioning. So keep in mind that you can buy an older European car and save some money, but when they break, it's darned expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And we see people every day with this kind of a situation. They come to trade in the car and, well, the window doesn't work and the air conditioning's out. Why? Well, it costs $4,000 to fix and the car is worth $8,000.
Right.
So, yeah. No brainer. Okay. While we're talking about Uber, our good friends at Uber, it seems that in South Korea, the CEO of Uber has been indicted. They have indicted Travis Kalanick for operating a taxi service outside the rules. Amazingly enough, the exact same thing that he does here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's really taken him to task for it here. I don't think they're as politically correct over there as we are. I love the
they've got a stronger taxi union, apparently.
They probably do. Yeah, well, you know, they shut him down in Vegas really quick.
Mm-hmm.
I think their arguments are really, really interesting. Uber does not believe it's appropriate for authorities to seek to punish drivers who are trying to make a living through the service. They're breaking the law, folks. It's against the law. They're unlicensed taxis.
Trying to make a living, Dave.
Yeah. So anyway, it's going to be really interesting to see, and all of this is a result of Uber drivers being charged with rape in India and in Boston in the last month. So they don't vet their drivers. They don't insure the cars. You're driving in somebody's personal car in a lot of cases, and if there's an accident, there's no commercial coverage. And if you're a fare, guess what? You're not covered.
And we're just getting into another stranger's car. You don't know where they've been and what they've been doing either.
Yeah, there could be a dead body in the trunk, and you have no idea.
I just don't know.
A dead body?
There could be.
There could. You're right.
Yeah. And then if y'all get pulled over, you're both going to be in trouble.
Well, or it could be you. You never know who you're driving with.
Yeah. You could be the body in the trunk.
Not my car.
But still, even if you're in the car, sometimes you get found guilty. Or at least you get arrested, and then you have to prove that you weren't really in on it. It happens.
I don't like the way you think.
I think we're fixing to have to go to break. But before we go to break, I want to tease this because we're going to talk about this when you come back. If you're upside down in your car, how would you switch to a lease without having to spend a bunch of extra money?
Is that an AutoFlex Leasing Fantex?
That's an AutoFlex Leasing Fantex. Right after the break, we can answer that.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing, with David, Tammy, Lane, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053. AutoFlex Leasing fan text 43733. And you can call AutoFlex. They are open today. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. A lot of 1234s in there. AutoFlex.com, a lot easier, on the World Wide Web. You can also see all our great pre-owned cars there. Maybe one of the more fun things you can do at AutoFlex.com is set up a test drive.
Yeah.
So if you want to drive a Honda and a Mazda and a Ford and a Mercedes, tell us what you want to drive. We'll have them sitting side by side for you. And to answer an AutoFlex Leasing fan text, yes, we do lease new cars, brand new cars.
That's right. And on a day like today when it's a little chilly outside, they'll have the seat heaters on for you. They'll put the heater on full blast, so it's nice and toasty when you get in.
We do the other side in the winter also, in the summer also. We turn the air conditioning on so they're not 800 degrees when they get inside.
Mm-hmm. AutoFlex Leasing fan text, if you're upside down with your car, how do you switch to a lease without owing any extra money?
I like the question because a lot of people that have constantly been upside down for the last 15 years have learned that they can get out of that cycle by doing a lease, and here's how. First of all, we're probably going to find a car that's got a big rebate, and that rebate is going to eat up part of your negative or maybe all of it, and then you've got a fixed period of time to drive the car, and at the end, you do not owe more on the car than it's worth. You're finally out of the cycle.
You're done.
Yeah.
You can give it back.
Exactly. And you don't owe a bunch more, so when you move to your next transaction, you're not carrying any baggage with you.
Important to know, you must make sure the lease is structured to fit your actual driving habits.
Right.
And don't sign on for a lease longer than you will drive the car. So if 3 years is really it, and let's say you have to absorb $5,000 of upside down from your last car. Let's say your last car, you owe 15, it's only worth 10. So we've got $5,000 that we have to roll into this new lease deal.
Mm-hmm.
When your payments are going to be higher because of that extra $5,000. If you didn't have that, that wouldn't be there. They're going to be higher for this finite number of months.
Right.
And at the end, you're done. But remember to build in the proper mileage, because mm-hmm. if you are driving 2,000 miles a month, you need a 24,000 mile a year lease.
And while you're talking about that, we have an AutoFlex Leasing fan text on that same note. I purchased instead of leasing my car a year and a half ago. I'm a vendor and I've already put 85,000 miles on my car. Should I look into a lease next time?
Yeah, probably for sure if you're a vendor, because you've probably got some sort of a business write-off. As well as we can program the miles in, because, yeah, he's got a two-year-old car with 85,000 miles on it. Again, very limited resale value and very limited resale market,
mm-hmm.
just to find somebody that wants that car.
But drive the wheel, you know, just drive it until you
oh, drive, yeah. Now,
pay for it.
Keep it.
Yeah.
Keep it. For sure.
And that's the other thing. A lot of people just don't want to live with their decisions. We find that all the time, I just don't really like it. But then when they find out it's going to cost $6,000 to, oh, maybe I do have to live with it. But they will keep trying, you know. It's not going to go away, that negative.
Mm-hmm.
So you either have to live with it, or you're going to have to live with the new situation that is created in order to solve that issue.
Right.
So I think it's really great to deal with us, because we can offer all the makes and models at one place, so we can consider all these different vehicles for you. Here's one with a rebate. This one doesn't have as big a rebate. This one's resale value is X. This one has a little bit better. And you'll find that the payments will be you know, pretty varied based on the discounts and the resale value, the future resale value of whichever car you're looking at, but we'll help you determine which one's going to be the best deal.
Right.
Well, and like on a pre-owned car, a lot of times, and there's a fan texter asking about this, a lot of times on a pre-owned car, if you are upside down in your trade-in, we can add a warranty and help cover that upside downness, because that gives us more advance. You can do a lot of things creatively, financially, to get someone out of an upside down situation mm-hmm. and get them into a good situation so that when they're done, they're actually done. And I do not like any financing longer than 60 months. I'm not real fond of 60, but
yeah.
anything longer than that, it really gets crazy, because if you figure 6 years, then if your kiddo is in the sixth grade, they're graduating from high school when you get the car paid for.
Wow.
That's just a long, long time.
So we either need to get a little bit more conservative. But listen, that's not what makes the financial world turn.
Right.
Is being conservative. We all want to stretch it out there a little bit more.
The latest and greatest.
So when you do want to stretch it out there a little bit more, we'll at least try to help you make a smart decision on what you're going to do it with.
Another great Autoflex Leasing fan text. When will car companies sell cars for what they're actually worth? Why is it okay for something to depreciate 25% as soon as you leave the lot?
It just is.
It's how it works.
It's not the car company.
Guess what your television depreciates when it becomes your television?
Yeah.
Almost half instantly.
Wow.
Yeah. Your washer, your dryer,
everything. Your iPhone,
all your appliances, they depreciate rapidly. Anything that's no longer new, including cars, cars aren't actually too bad at 25%.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of big items that depreciate more than that.
Oh, clothing, too. Sometimes I'll buy designer labels, and then when I go to donate them at the end of the year,
yeah.
my CPA says, go online and find out what they're actually worth, what you could sell them for. And I'm like, I paid $75 for this shirt, and you really only get like $5.50 back.
Yeah. So the car depreciation is like any other new product. Cars depreciate. And cars sell for what they're worth, because that's what people will pay for anything. If you want to know what something is worth, find out what someone's willing to pay for it, and that's what it's worth. It's a sliding scale.
And it was J. Paul Getty that says, buy what appreciates, rent or lease what depreciates.
Yes.
So anything that goes down in value, if you can, you know, buy real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Rent cars or lease cars.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things people always factor in when looking into new vehicles is the cost of gas. Yes.
And it continues to drop, and it's really it's an interesting thing, because it's now dropped to a 5.5, maybe a 6-year low, which is pretty amazing in a couple of ways. Number one, it's going to put money in everyone's pocket every month. I mean, when you go to fill your car up now, it's not triple digits.
Yeah, it's under $30, which is crazy.
Oh, yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah, baby.
And so the other thing, though, I thought that was interesting is gasoline is not the only thing that has dropped in price. Gold has dropped in price. Almost all of commodities, all of the commodities out there that have future markets, that people buy stock, that kind of thing, they've all gone down in price in the last few months. So it's sort of across the board. Gasoline, though, is what touches everyone. And so that is why you see so much news about it. There's gas for sale in the Metroplex for $1.49 a gallon right now.
Wow.
When the gas prices go down, our food goes down, too, because it doesn't cost as much to bring it to us, right? I mean, mm-hmm. everything goes down. Just because of transportation alone. So I'm a fan.
Me too.
Autoflex Leasing fan text. Why don't cars depreciate as soon as they're test driven? What makes them depreciate? Titling makes them depreciate. When a new car is untitled, it is new. Once it is titled, it is considered used. So when they title the car in your name or a bank's name, then it becomes a pre-owned car or a used car, and then it depreciates.
So a brand new untitled car with 500 miles is still worth the same as a brand new untitled car with 100.
Wow.
Or 10 miles. They're just brand new.
One of the other effects, by the way, of this fall in gasoline prices is electric cars have slowed down. Tesla's slowed down. Priuses have slowed down. The hybrids have all slowed down, because it's really hard to justify spending the money that you spend for the additional technology when it would take many, many years to recover it in savings when gas is cheap. When gas is expensive, they sell better. Tesla right now is actually trying to help people in China trade in their cars by giving them more for their trade-ins if they will buy a new Tesla. If your car is selling like hotcakes, you don't do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to.
Makes sense. This, I think, is a little bit interesting. AAA key return tags. They did a little study on these to find out if they really work.
Yeah, this was from Auto Week this last week, and one of the editors there said he'd had a million cars, and he's always belonged to AAA because, if nothing else, he drives hoopties, and they break a lot. And so if you're a AAA member, they'll send you a wrecker. So anyway, he always has the little key tag, and he thought, I wonder if it works. So he got an old key, a really old key, from like a 1971 Ford Crown Victoria that he hadn't had in years. He put it on the key ring with a tag, and he took it out and dropped it in the street.
Uh-huh.
And someone picked it up and put it in a mailbox. And sure enough, 9 days later, there's his key.
Wow.
From AAA. They called him first and said, hey, we've got your key. We're sending it back to you. And they mailed it back to him. So if you ever wondered if the AAA key return thing works, works like a champ.
Depends on who picks it up. I'm positive.
Well, yeah, if they don't drop it in the mailbox, it probably doesn't work.
But what else are you going to do? If you find a spare pair of keys, you have no idea what it goes to. What are you going to do with it? Like, why would you keep that?
I wouldn't.
I don't know that either. They'd pick it up at all.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I might, depending on where I found it. If it was in the middle of the sidewalk, I would probably drop it in the box. But if it was on the floor of the grocery store, I would go turn it into the manager thinking somebody is going to come claim them at some point.
It's flu season. I'd probably kick it over to the side. I wouldn't even touch it.
Pick it up with a tissue.
Like, somebody come get that. I don't want to touch it.
Mm-hmm. Another quick question from the Autoflex Leasing fan text. I work at GM. Can I use my employee discount for a lease?
Yes.
And awesome.
Sometimes the rebates are greater than the discount, amazingly enough, if there's trunk money and if it's stair-step money. But in any case, you can, yes.
Yes, there have been some times when I compared what my fleet price was compared to their Ford A plan or the GM. And our deal was slightly better simply because of the volume that we're dealing with in our fleet department. But whatever is the cheapest for our client, that's what we're going
to
do.
Mm-hmm. If we didn't have time to get to your Autoflex Leasing fan text, you can still call Autoflex. They're open today, 817 or 972-234-1234. And as we mentioned earlier in the show, if you are looking for a new car, make sure you go in there and get your paperwork all done before Thursday the 1st, because then your car is 1 week or 1 year older. Autoflex.com is the website, and we'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil Summers. Thank you to Lane Lewis. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. Yes, I'm stuck in-